All right, joining us on the line this morning, Governor Ned Lamont. Governor, thanks for the check-in again. We appreciate it a lot.
Hey, listen to that previous caller. He knew what he was talking about.
Well, on that note, let's start with that. Is that the number one or among your top five issues that people want to talk to you about? Tolls.
I can tell you the business leaders in particular feel very strongly that our transportation system is a mess, that it's in gridlock, that our train service is slowing down, that trucks are congesting more and more of our roads, and that's bad for business. So they have pushed me pretty hard to come up with a real transportation strategy that gets our transportation system moving again, and that's really key to getting our jobs going.
Governor, there's
been... Yes.
Go ahead. Please.
That's it. Keep going.
Some of our listeners have questioned the process at this point. Is it that the legislature will pass tolls as a concept and then leave it up to the DOT to control where things go and how much it is and what the reciprocity with other states are, and then take away any of that decision-making power from that point forward from the General Assembly?
My understanding, Dave, is that there are, three bills out there. But I think I didn't want to spend a dime on a consulting study. I didn't. DOT has given us enough information, I think, that I wanted the legislature to weigh in and say, I think this is the direction that we want to go, or let's keep borrowing, which is the other alternative. Okay. So once I get a direction from the state legislature, then I'll follow their lead. I mean, if they say, look, I want to come back. I want you to do a detailed study. I want you to say where and how the tolls will go before I vote. A second time, we can do that. Or even better, let DOT, Department of Transportation, get on with it. I'm happy to work either way that satisfies the legislature, just so we can start speeding up our transportation system. That's really key to economic development.
Governor, overall, how is the budget debate going from your office's perspective? Are we getting closer to the some sort of compromise with everybody?
I think the jury's out. I think that look, you saw that the credit rating agencies came out last week with an improved outlook for Connecticut. S&P did. We went from neutral to positive. They said this is a budget that's in balance. It's balanced without a lot of gimmicks and not a lot of short-term fixes. It deals with pensions in a serious way. It deals with health care in a serious way. It deals with bonding in a serious way. So I feel like we've got a good foot forward at this point. And I've just got to convince the legislature, to be serious. And they can say... look, I want to cut more spending, or I want to add this, but just show me how it adds up. They haven't put forward a budget that really adds up in a long time, and there I'm going to hold their feet to the fire. I'm willing to listen, but the numbers have to add up.
How about the Medicare savings program? That's been raised by our listeners, and of course it was a year ago that we were talking about that program being in peril. Are there any adjustments being recommended to that? And what is that status on your behalf?
My understanding is last year or 2 years ago, there would have been real cuts to the Medicare savings program, which would have impacted a lot of middle-class seniors. And we have not touched that. I think we did put in some sort of an asset test just to make sure that if you had significant assets, you would contribute a little more and the state would contribute a little bit less.
So, but otherwise, those low-income folks that rely on that program, they can continue to see that happening in the future?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. We're ticking down the list. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about school regionalization. That's something that you've been addressing over the past couple of weeks. It's something that we've been watching here in northeastern Connecticut in particular. We've got a lot of small school districts. Where do you stand on that particular topic? I know that you've been hearing from a lot of legislators from our area on this, and I would imagine other parts of the state as well. Tell us about that a little bit more, if you would.
Look, a lot of bills come out of the legislature, and they're just trial balloons. My bill has always been what I said, which is I'm going to do everything I can to encourage voluntarily our school district to share more back office costs. I got to do everything I can to cut down bureaucracy, group purchasing of different items. You know, in North Carolina, they have a education software, and they buy it on a state level. In Connecticut, we buy it across 100 different school districts, and we pay a fortune to do it that way. So I'm going to do everything I can to encourage our local schools to do more that would save money in terms of overhead, and we put a little more money into the classroom.
You talked about it being voluntary, but is there still a penalty anywhere in the process if schools don't?
Not in our bill. I mean, I'm pushing folks hard. To think about how you can save in those back office functions and cut down a bureaucracy. But I don't penalize anybody. I don't do that.
Let's stick to the consolidation, the word consolidation. You and I have talked about this before, and I appreciate the ongoing conversation about QVCC and the community college system. It sounds like some of those efforts are already in the works to change the system and maybe take a little bit of autonomy away. At least that's the fear. Can you give us a status check on the community college consolidation issue?
I think it's a little like the regionalizing of the back office services that we talked about with our schools. Look, I got to do everything I can to bring down costs in the state, and I've got to, we have the smallest increase in our state budget this coming cycle that we've had in generations, and I've got to do a better job of reducing those costs. And right now, our community colleges are pretty darn expensive, and they're operating at a deficit. And rather than just plug the deficit by doing more of the same, you know, I'm sympathetic to the idea of what we can do to share back office function, what we can do to share personnel and IT and purchasing. It doesn't impact the feisty independence of our different community colleges. QVCC is right where it is, doing what it does. And I love the fact that QVCC has great local support. I mean, that just means a lot to me. And yeah. I'm going to do everything I can to get the businesses more involved with QVCC, make sure they're training people for the jobs in your region that are going begging right now.
So
a lot of those businesses, I'm going to really encourage to help forgive student loans, to make it more affordable to go to our colleges as well.
Even more affordable. So that means closure is not on the horizon, the loss of autonomy not on the horizon?
Closure is not on the horizon. Loss of autonomy, unless you think, buying things on a group basis is a loss of autonomy. Loss of autonomy is not there. There'll be a CEO or president, and they will be the ones that do the outreach to the local community. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Governor. We have some local things that we'd like to discuss with you, local to northeastern Connecticut. When you gave your budget address, you talked about the state having to go on a debt diet, and that would include a lot of bonding projects. We have had in northeastern Connecticut here in Putnam a bonding project for a library construction grant for $1 million. The town had delayed the process in getting the grant as plans were being put together. Plans were put together last year for a new municipal complex, which included the library. And that $1 million grant from the state was put in question based on your debt diet. For projects that were previously approved, do you anticipate that those projects will get approved despite the debt diet plan?
Look, we've got some things in the pipeline. Sounds like the Putnam Library may be one of those that are already in the pipeline. So I've got to honor commitments that were made by, the previous administration. And sounds like the Putnam Library is one of those commitments. But so the answer to that specific question is yes. But I'm pretty strict about this diet. I mean, every legislator comes into my office and says, look, I generally agree with you about the debt diet, but I've got this one project that's really important. And we've got an awful lot of, you know, our bonding was up 60% every year for the last 8 years. Those fixed costs, paying off the interest, paying off the principal, is really driving up the cost of government. Everybody says, Ned, do a better job of holding down costs. This is one place I can make a real difference. So I'm not putting on the brakes overnight, and we've got some good things in the pipeline. We honor commitments made previously. You know, but over the next couple of years, you are going to see the amount of bonding we do go down.
All right. Governor, I want to, first of all, thank you. We like the regular check-ins with you. That was a commitment that you made during the election cycle, and you're sticking to it. We appreciate hearing from you and keeping that connection with Hartford here in northeastern Connecticut. Let's end on some fun news.
Yeah.
You are looking forward to the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and you're looking forward to folding in Woodstock, Connecticut into that somehow. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. My parents wouldn't let me go, so I get to make up for lost time at the age of 65. And, you know, you've got in Woodstock, Connecticut, an amazing festival around Labor Day. So we've been talking to the first selectman there and others about bringing in tribute bands. You know, the Allman Brothers, Janis Joplin aren't with us right now, but there's some amazing bands that do fabulous imitations of them. And I don't know if it'll be 3 days of peace, love, and music, but we might have a really good evening made up of some tribute bands that come. And I've arranged some prize money for whoever is the best tribute band that can come to that Woodstock. We'll vote on social media or something. I think it'll be a kick. It'll be great for tourism throughout the region, and you want to put it out live.
All right, Governor. Well, we'll have to start looking at plans for that. And you talked about it being important to tourism. Are there funds available from tourism that you would use for that? How would that work?
Well, I think the people will come, and you know, so be you a bed and breakfast or the hotels or whatever it might be, they should be planning around this. It's not going to be like the old Woodstock where you had right. traffic jammed up for 2 days. This group will be probably a little bit older, but it's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there. I play a little Janis Joplin, so who knows what we're trying to do.
Well, Governor, that sounds like fun and bringing a little bit of extra attention to our Woodstock Fair, which we're all proud of.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the chance
to
see you guys.
Governor, we look forward to checking in with you again. We hope that you come up here to northeastern Connecticut and stop in on the talk show, take a call or two, and we'll get into more detail on some of the things that we've been talking about.
Great. Let's get on right before Woodstock. We'll do it again.
All right. Sounds good, Governor. Thanks for checking in. All right. That's Governor Ned Lamont joining us on the line this morning, and we will now go to open forum.